And hello, we are back. We have done the thing. Welcome to part two. It's Grey's Academy. Go to patreon.com. Go to Instagram. Follow us at Grey's Academy Pod, at carmen.gabriel.official, at chaoticallykelsey. Leave a five-star review wherever you listen. Take a minute and share this on your Instagram stories. If you're listening on Spotify, leave a comment. Kelsey has previously mentioned that she's found out how to see those, and we will definitely start responding to those. If you want to take this and copy the link and text it to five of your closest friends and tell them to text five of their closest friends, and we'll make a pyramid scheme out of this, a good old-fashioned multi-level marketing
MLM
scheme.
Hell yeah.
We love that. So yeah, I'm Carmen. That's a Kelsey. You know, hi.
Hello, part two. Hope you enjoyed part one. We're going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
There is one person.
Ooh. Let me see my notes here. Because usually I can look at my notes and remember all the people that are here.
Remember anything that happened in the episode?
It's the mom of the kid with the lung.
Yes. That was absurd. I cannot believe you just did that.
Yes.
Absolutely insane. That's so funny. Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. The actress's name is Sonia Leslie. The character's name is Rita. She is the mother to Callie in Arizona's lung patient. She was in one episode of Scandal. That is the only person from Shondaland in this episode. That's wild. I'm very proud of you. I did not think you were going to get that. I was like, he's going to forget this storyline even happened.
No, I love this storyline. The kid, he just like all of a sudden starts breathing with his like aqua lung over there.
Yeah. So, wow, good job,
man. Guys, thank you. It's puppy luck.
It's it's the magic. It's the magic of the if then episode.
It's true. Something about this episode makes my Shonda predictions correct.
It's true, because at one point you did say that Alex and April were going to sleep together.
And I'm amazing. Didn't I also say something about Charles Percy's ghost at one point too?
I mean, I have to assume you did, because you say so many things.
All of which come to fruition. They call me Chondradamus.
They call me Fruition Man.
Because I'm always... Never mind.
Okay.
They call me Fruition Man because I'm always coming to it. Coming to fruition!
I didn't like that one. I didn't like Come it.
On. You are laughing. You are currently in stitches.
This is untrue. Lies and slander. Defamation. Okay. So what else? I mean, what else do you want to talk about? I guess we can talk about the Callie.
Let's talk about the kid with the lung.
Who've like essentially like never worked together, basically. It seems they probably know each other in passing, but they've never worked together. So Callie, they have differing opinions on the course of treatment for this kid. Arizona doesn't want to do it. Callie's like, well, we're doing it. Ellis has Callie's back because she's doing like a more experimental thing, which obviously Ellis is really pushing because it's like looks good for the hospital, and she's already won three Harper Averys and blah blah blah, whatever. They have a bunch of press there, so she's like, let's be impressive, let's do shit. Derek, you suck so much. Yes, queen. And then so she sides with Callie to do it. And then out of nowhere, he just like it, like the procedure kind of, they have to pause whatever it is they're doing, but then he's just fine. Like, his lungs are just fine. It's wild.
You know, on the topic of the Harper Avery, I have to ask, at what point has she won enough of them that she gets her own award?
That's a good question. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I'm like, what is she? They say what she's won this one for, but have they didn't really say the other ones. So
Maybe she cured diabetes in that timeline.
Maybe she did have it all written down.
She had the foundation.
Okay, so
yeah that was pretty crazy when
the
artificial
lung just like came detached, and then they were like, we got to get him back, but then they were like, wait, he's just breathing and it's fine, so he like also doesn't need a new lung at all, which is wild. And I mean, great, you know, we love a medical miracle.
A big fan of those medical miracles.
Big fan.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
Love a good old-fashioned medical miracle. Yeah, so that obviously leads to the two of them having some moments. Arizona's like, oh, we should go celebrate. And Kelly's like, oh, I can't because I have a family with this man who I now am not attracted to because I'm attracted to you. And because he's the worst.
Yeah, stop punching windows. So, yeah, that was a lot of intenseness, but it actually led to a wild surgery piece where, so Christina was on the surgery, Ben Meredith, Ellis is like, you go get your rumpus on that surgery or you're not my daughter anymore. I'm going to give you to your dead dad, and your dead biological dad. And she forces her way on. She incites the name. She invokes the name of Ellis Gray to Callie. Mid-surgery.
Don't love that.
No. It's frustrating.
And I'm like, the way she does it with such ease, I'm like, wow, she has done this a lot of times.
Yeah. But honestly, would she have if her dad, Richard Weber, didn't push her to get back on the proverbial bicycle because he told a story about when she was a kid and she bled out on the sidewalk? I don't know. But Christina and Meredith are in the middle of the surgery. Meredith is like, Callie, say I'm right. Callie says she's right. She takes her hand out for 1 second and Christina jumps in. That's reckless.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some morbidity and mortality conversation topics that they can talk through on that. Don't fight mid-surgery.
That Teddy has not taught Christina her lessons about the back to the basics and like the being the best version of yourself at the lowest level kind of situation, because she's definitely operating at the Christina pre that whole conflict.
The Christina that
this season
almost killed Alex. This Christina needs to go catch a trout in the middle of a lake with Derek Shepherd.
So true. But not this Derek Shepherd, because he sucks too.
Alternate timeline Derek Shepherd.
Yes. So, well, and also at some point, Meredith's like, why would we do that? And Christina goes, because it's cooler. So I'm like, all right, settle down. I do feel like if this was the Christina we had all the time, it would be harder to defend her on a regular basis. Currently, I don't really take issue with defending her because I feel like she has enough, like she's grounded enough. But this version is not, she's very unchecked.
Because
Callie doesn't have the passion for cardio. So she's not going to be the teacher that like Burke or Teddy was. Because she's like, oh, Ellis said I was good at it, so I'm just going to be good at it. Also, she says that she's afraid of Christina.
Right.
So, yeah.
Was Han ever a mentor to Christina?
Not really.
Yeah,
she, like,
right?
was really mean and would, like, kick her out, like, not have her on her service at all. Because she's like, she just sucked.
She was too busy.
In regards to Christina, she sucked.
Right.
And she was like, let me put Izzy on cardio. Aw.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Sucked, guys.
Is it weird that I think I've trauma blocked out a lot of the Izzy stuff? Like, all I can remember is the deer in the back of the van and the George and her sex, which I was correct on because I know these things. I have intuition on these.
Of my rewatches, I started halfway through season 6 because I was like, no, I don't have to watch her. Or George.
Yeah.
Like, I would start after they were gone because I was like, I don't like them. And going back and revisiting it, I'm like, oh, still don't like them. So no, I don't think it's weird that you trauma blocked out a lot of that. I think it's accurate protection of your brain.
Although I still do think when Burke says, "You're still my guy, O'Malley," you know, he peaked in that moment.
Burke and George and Hunt and George were like the best versions of those people.
Correct. Maybe Hunt's never dealt with George's death. Maybe Hunt saw George like the son he never had.
I don't know, man, but he needs something, and then it's not, he doesn't have it.
He needs the Lort. And Malort. And Malort. Speaking of, can I just share? I haven't talked to Jessica about this, but I think I've made a life decision without her knowing.
I don't think
I'm going to drink any more alcohol. I think I'm going to go ahead and just, you know.
You're going to be sober?
I think so. I haven't had any alcohol since Christmas.
For always or just socially?
No, I mean like.
You're just
like, what, you mean like just only alcohol. Drink at home in my closet? Like,
no,
what do you mean?
I mean only drink socially. I understand that was completely backwards the way I phrased it. Like, I'm sober in social settings. I'm drunk by myself. Just not. That's what Richard was doing. But it's not not a suggestion that I'm making. But I think Jessica would support you. I mean, she's sober, you know.
Yes, yeah. And
I
it's
see
like
a lot of people that go sober and notice, and if you're making, you know, a lot of other lifestyle changes with like what you're consuming, I think it could definitely be impactful.
I was reading, I mean, obviously like getting my checkup, and I'll go more in detail in our Patreon episode. Hear all about my choice of going sober.
It's like a TMZ title.
Yeah.
Carmen goes sober.
Breaking news. Insider access, Chicago, Illinois. I was reading an article about how when you're, you know, like drinks of five or more is considered binge drinking, right? Mm-hmm. And when I would be out, I really started to only drink at parties.
Yeah.
Or weddings. And the weddings that I'm going to, I'm drinking a lot because it's usually open bar. And then if I'm at a party, like even the Christmas Eve party at Cindy's, I had, I don't know, three to five drinks and the night, like, and they're pretty heavy pours because I was not driving because Jessica is sober and not drink because of her vertigo. But like the damage that I'm doing in those times is like, you know, it's real. Yeah. It's big. So I'm like, I'm just gonna, I don't just sit at home and just have like one drink. I know if I was drinking, it would be on this podcast or like if friends come over and they're like, yeah, like we always have beer or liquor in our fridge and I don't, you know, but I haven't really had anyone over this year yet. I've had one little friend outing and they all had some seltzers and I'm like, I'm just going to have some orange juice. Like,
Well, and you have other friends too, who are sober for varying reasons as well.
Yes.
Jessica.
Yeah.
And I mean, I definitely think I feel like there's a growing curiosity around it. And also just like, as you get older, it becomes harder to recover and you have to continue to live your life and like parent the next day. That's not fun to do when you're hungover. I have been sober since my birthday because that was the last time I had a beer, because the day after my birthday is when I found out I was pregnant. So
happy birthday.
And I don't think I'll be doing sober anytime soon, but I don't do it. Like, I don't get drunk. I'll be like, I just want to have like a beer with dinner.
Right.
I'm not like a liquor person. It's just not my preference. I mean, there are some that I like, but like if I'm going to have a drink, I'd rather just have like a beer or two.
And then just be like, I'm
fine.
I'm like, get me like five, you know, five
shots
drinks in. Christmas with Jess's family, there were like four or five of us, her aunt, two of her aunts, her uncle and her cousin that and me that were like just taking shots of tequila. I opened up my expensive 120 bottle of dollar bottle of tequila that I've been saving for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. That was a gift of mine, and it was fantastic. It was great. But like, I don't yearn for that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys all heard it here first. I haven't told this to Jessica, but I think, and then also there's like some things on my blood work that I'm like, I should just be careful of that, you know?
Yeah. I
think, and heart just, disease, you know, runs in my family. So
yeah,
I should just do the things, because I'm also not like ripping cigs at all time, you know?
Thankfully.
Yeah. But I haven't even had like a cigar in years.
A year and a half. So you had one
in October. Well, 1.5 years is technically years. But yes, that was the last time I had a cigar.
Same.
That I don't know that I'm willing to cut out completely.
Yeah.
A cigar at a wedding just hits different.
So true. Okay. Sorry. Now that we've tangented enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So was with the Cali and Arizona thing, like they have the hug where Arizona's like, yay, it worked. And she hugs Cali and Cali's like, oh, a tingle.
These breasts are touching my breasts.
I'm into this. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then she kind of see her have those moments like throughout the episode. And then Arizona's like, let's go celebrate. And she's like, I can't, I gotta go home. And then Owen kisses her and she doesn't like it at all. And you're like, now what?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like,
well, and there was that one scene where there was a cute girl talking to Arizona and she was from Ortho. And that's when Callie's like, oh, man. She saying that she liked Ortho because of the cute girl, or does this timeline Cali actually like Ortho and she was forced into cardio, you know?
I think it's the second. And she's like kind of like she's looking at Arizona and then like looking down at her wedding ring and she's like, I'm betrothed. I'm spoken for. But
whatever what these if, whatever these then, feelings I'm feeling in the lower half of my body. Yeah. But hoes and tricks.
So
it goes both ways, folks.
Yeah. I do wish we had seen a little more Cali and Addison, because that is a friendship that we love and has been established prior. And so I would have loved a little more time with that, but alas, we didn't get it.
Nope.
So.
And then also.
Okay. Yes.
There is the other patient, the one that Alex is like really screwing Mandy over on big time.
Okay. Ellis's patient. Yes. So.
Yeah.
Miranda has. It's. In the meeting, she is speaking, I guess, as the head of general surgery, because she's in the department head meeting. So I'm assuming she's like the chief of general still. So even though she's more timid, she's still a very good surgeon. So because Ellis has just won her third Harper Avery, there's all this press here. And she's like, great, what an opportunity for me to show my skills. So I'll do this thing that you were going to do. And Bailey's like, cool, okay, I will fight back in no way. And then she hears, first of all, Alex did not love this moment where he says that Bailey is like a Honda Civic and Ellis is like, a Lamborghini or whatever the fuck he says.
He says a Jaguar, which is unfair. Unfair to Mandy. The head of...
And she's right there.
Yes.
Like, get to... Shut the fuck up. The men in this show, I swear to God. And so I didn't love that. But then Miranda hears Ellis say, like, oh, I'm going to use this vein, the iliac vein, instead of the jugular. And the reason that Miranda was going to use the jugular because she knew the iliac vein was not going to be viable because of prior health issues that this man was having. But she's like, it's in the chart. So she'll just see it, which she should have seen it. here's where I get weird, because I'm like, I don't want to blame Miranda. Ellis should have read the chart more thoroughly. But also I'm like, okay, this is the reason that I get frustrated, because I'm like, this is also about the patient. Like, this puts the patient in a less than ideal scenario. So why wouldn't you have just been like, hey, just wanted to make sure that you're aware. I noted it in the chart, but I wanted to like verbally confirm it with you. The iliac vein is not going to be an option because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, because I think
like,
she...
they are both at fault. I just think that, like, for me, I'm like, she would still care about the patient enough to say that.
I was a little bit misunderstanding, though, because in that scene, it sounds like Bailey didn't put his thrombosis situation in the chart because she's like, I noticed it. I was the one who was going to be doing the surgery.
Yeah, so but like, then she's like, oh, I put like a note in a different part of the chart or something. I agree. It was like kind of unclear.
Both of them, she shouldn't have stolen the surgery. Mandy should have spoken up.
Yeah, and my thing is really more about the...
And then Alex also should have stood up for her too.
Yes, correct too. We should also make sure that we say that Alex also... Everyone is like just not being their best selves.
Yeah.
So also though, on Ellis's fault, why would you call Bailey into the operating room to yell at her in front of everybody while you're trying to focus on this surgery? Like, there's a time and a place, and this is not it.
Yeah. And that's, I think like seconds before that, when she sees all the vein issues, she goes to Alex and she's like, did you know? And he goes, no, I had no idea.
No, blatant lie.
I'm a terrible person, but you will find that out more soon, Ellis. Also, when she walks in that room, did you notice that she says Alex and not Dr. Karev?
Yeah, she doesn't think that he's a real doctor.
Just like us, not real doctors.
Well, because, and then she says something to Meredith like, oh, well, you weren't here because you were too busy getting engaged or some shit. Like, she doesn't give a shit about anything other than people's careers. And... okay, also I found it. Bailey says, did you look at the chart? And Ella says, yes, but it wasn't indicated that it was this bad. And Bailey says it was in the medical records. So I guess she didn't, she just, I don't know. I don't know.
It all sucks.
And then, and then Alex, but they don't... like, nicks the carotid artery. It's yeah. going poorly. The surgery's not going great.
Imagine being the press up at the top. This Ellis Gray method requires more blood than we anticipated.
He's been under for 112 hours, but it's going really well.
I've missed my my child's graduation because of this.
So good. Yeah, I just... That was just a weird... The thing that my biggest issue on, like, Miranda being timid little Mandy and not standing up for herself is she still would care about the patient enough to say something, in my opinion. That's
correct.
Where I think it kind of gets a little lost, because the whole thing in like the flashback, she did get there and she was standing up for the patient and like being correct for the patient. And so it's just kind of frustrating to be like, okay, well, this man has now become like a pawn in this game of control. And he's the one that loses out, and he's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So that was my main issue with that. Anything else? Oh, and then Alex is talking about the wedding, and he's like, wouldn't it be cool if we went to Hawaii? And Alex is like, no, I have to run this hospital. I'm not going to leave to go to your wedding.
I'm going to get you booked at the Rainier Club.
You can get married in this OR. Where you can suck my dick.
Yeah, she is wild. And here's the thing. Part of me is like, okay, imagine if I was dating Jess and her mom was some big shot something. Also, imagine Jess as a doctor, right? And me also as a doctor, I guess, in this scenario. and... my future mother-in-law. By the way, I wouldn't have proposed if I was actively cheating. That's, I think, problem number one. Let's call a spade a spade here, please. I would be happy that there's like some help coming from the future mother-in-law, but at the same time, I'm like, just back off. If I want a destination wedding, cost? I want a destination wedding. Yeah.
And you're like, if you don't, like, the boundary is clearly not set. It's too late. It's done. Like, this woman thinks she runs everything. And, just a little bit more on the Ellis thing. Like, later on when, well, Meredith is upset because Alex is, you know, sleeping with her April. And so she's crying to Richard, who is a good parent, which I do love that choice to make him, like, such a good father figure. Like, I think that was, like, perfect. And then Ellis comes in and is like, oh yeah, you should be upset because Christina embarrassed you. And Meredith's like, my actual life is crumbling, so fuck off. And then later Richard goes to talk to Meredith and she's like, no, like, I'm sick of you defending her all the time. It goes so far out of her way to keep everyone around her down so that she looks better. And she says, she wants everyone around her to be ordinary so she can be extraordinary, which goes back to like Ellis's whole thing when she was lucid of being like, I raised you to be extraordinary and you're ordinary, blah, blah, blah. What happened to you?
Good callback. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And so I kind of liked that Meredith recognizes that in Ellis and like sees how it's impacted her and how it's impacted Richard, because she knows that Richard is a good person and a good doctor and a just like good man, but she sees like that Ellis has been toxic and it has trickled to everybody around her. And so then, you know, she's leaving and that's when she sees Christina and Jackson working on Lexi and she's like, let's crack her chest. And Christina's like, why? And Mary's like, if she's going to die anyways, what's the harm? And they do it and they work together and then they've bonded and now they're besties. Okay. But I just really like that moment where she goes to Richard and she's like, fuck this bitch. She's trying to keep everyone else down. She won't let anyone succeed on their own.
And what was the quote she said? Like, you're covering for her and it's beneath you.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. Stop that, Dad.
Don't come and clean up after her again. You do it every time and it's beneath you and it's pointless. I can't do anything right for her. And I finally figured out why. She wants everyone around her to be ordinary so she can be extraordinary. She wants everyone around her small. And that's what she's done to you. She's made you small and I'm not going to let her do it to me.
So good.
So where do you think... Okay, hold on. I'll get to this question. Because I want to talk about how Derek hates Addison so much, which we've already talked about. But then the culmination of that story is he goes to Addison. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I feel this way, but I do know I want this baby. And Addison's like, great, it's not your baby. And then Mark comes out of the bathroom and says, this is awkward. Again, a callback to a different episode where he comes out of the bathroom and says, this is awkward. So good times.
He has more clothes on this time, though.
Unfortunately, he does. Yes, but there's no steam. But he doesn't have a shirt on, so at least there's that.
Can I tell you, I don't think I've watched a more uncomfortable scene in TV recently than when Derek and Addison are in the, I think they're scrubbing or they're about to end out the surgery. Yeah, scrubbing out. And he's like, do you even love me? And he's like looking at the ground and he's like, yeah, I love you. And she's like, can you do it without looking at the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just so uncomfortable.
And they're being loud, so, like, everyone in the surgery, like, in the OR can hear them, and it's really
Charles
weird.
Is just peering through the back window like a little cat.
He's like, ooh, this is not good.
Yeah, he's the personification of the hanging in there cat meme, just like, this is uncomfortable, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. So, I think it's nice... In every storyline to know that Addison and Derek break up.
Yes.
I'm happy for them. You think Rose works at the hospital? I think Rose works at the hospital in this storyline.
Fucking Rose. Where's Olivia?
I honestly, what a time that they could have brought Olivia back for this episode. And they chose. They actively chose. Patricia's not here. Who else is in here?
Teddy.
Teddy, Erica, right? Erica. Burke. Well, yeah, but like that one makes sense.
George.
The Burke
one makes Izzy. Sense.
George. They could have brought George and Izzy back to play like different characters or something, or bring back Papa O'Malley and there's no connection, or like maybe George brings his dad into the hospital for something.
I don't know why you so badly want these people to come back and be different characters. That would piss me off so much more than if they just came back as themselves.
No, George would come back as George and George's dad would come back as George's dad, but they would come back as not doctors.
Yeah.
Also, there's something, because Scrubs did it once and it was perfect and flawless and amazing, and I love it now. All right, let's do a break.
Okay.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
And we're back. That was the most abrupt message from us. Like, I thought you were going to say something. I thought you were going to say something, and then I didn't say anything, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, silence is golden, you know?
Yeah, so true.
Like the showers.
Okay, so yeah, I don't. Okay, is there anything else that you want to talk about as far as like what happened in the episode or notes?
In that surgery that Addison was on, it was the Teresa. I guess what was wrong with the kid?
The huge tumor on the baby's head.
That's right. I have a quote here that just
somehow
said
somehow not caught.
Right. What I have a quote here that just says, "What took you so long? Derek is a douchebag." It was a quote that I think Derek said. What took you? Addison.
Addison had like been in another surgery and he's like,
yeah,
what took you so long to get here? And she's like, I wasn't doing nothing, you piece of shit. I was like,
yeah,
doing work.
Yeah. Also, when she's like, you're never even home. You're just in a stupid trailer on a stupid piece of land planning a stupid house. You stupid boy. Yeah. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Oh, yeah. So Addison had to make sure the mom didn't bleed out after the C-section. And Derek was
so
like,
selfish,
what took you
that
so
woman.
Long? And Addison's like, sorry, I know you didn't want to spend the day with your wife. What a burden. And then Addison's like, it's a beautiful day to save lives. It's a whole
and then he
thing,
hits her.
You know, so weird. And then he just yeets her scalpel into her throat.
Derek strikes me more as a hatchet to the back of the head kind of guy.
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay,
Was there anything we missed with the Lexi, like the random Lexi storyline? I feel like in our fanning out, we talked about a lot of it in the front, the first beginning of the part of the episode.
Jackson
wants
to give her a pacemaker, and she's like, no. Also, she says her name is Lucille Ball.
So funny. You got some Lucy. Splaining to do.
And he wants Christina to put in the pacemaker and she doesn't. And then Lexi leaves and then they end up doing the whatever. Yeah, I don't. I mean, OK. I think my question for you, one of many, is where do you think everything goes from here? Like, obviously, Meredith and Christina are friends. Obviously, Meredith and Derek are going to get together. Alex and April got to suss that out. Miranda has to go get a different job and be a different person. Ellis and Richard, like, Ellis is crumbling, which feels, I don't know, that to me, the fact that like that was the end scene was her, for her, was her like crying to Richard about how she didn't essentially look perfect in front of the press. I was like, that's a choice to make that her final scene of the episode. Callie, like, what happens with Callie and Owen? What happens with Callie and Arizona? You know, it's like, these are the questions that I'm like, what in this timeline do you think happens next?
Well, I don't see Callie and Arizona getting together.
I agree.
I do see Callie leaving Hunt and taking the kids, but she needs to then explore her sexuality and find a woman, yes, who's okay with kids. So
everyone goes to therapy.
Everybody goes to therapy. That's my truth, and I will be taking no feedback on that. Except Lexi, she dies in my truth.
Really? See, in my truth, I think I don't know that she would go to med school, but I do think she would see a second chance after the second near death experience.
Yeah. See, that maybe makes it a third chances, and you know what they say about fool me thrice. So I say no, she's dead. Mark and Addison are going to live a happy, beautiful life, is my truth. And their friendship, Derek and Mark's friendship, again, endures. They make it through. Mandy goes, yes.
You think that Addison and Mark stay in Seattle?
Yep.
And raise that baby?
Yep.
And Derek is like, this is fine.
Yep.
I have Meredith.
Yep.
That's
because I think in that timeline, they don't get Zola. They just get pregnant, natural birth, mm-hmm, from them. Because in this timeline, Meredith is not, does not have a hostile uterus.
Well, also in this timeline, Alex is not bringing anyone over from Africa. So
right,
how are they going
to
get Zola?
Exactly. That was, yeah, that had taken place in my head. I just didn't verbalize it out loud. In my truth, Mandy goes on to join private practice.
Oh, yes. But Addison's not there.
Addison's not there. So it's just Sam, Naomi, Violet, Cooper, Charlotte, Sheldon, and Mandy.
Interesting that they would have a general surgeon in the private practice.
Yeah, but they don't have any captain surgeons.
Nice. Okay, so the
I also want you to know that my truth is that if Alex threw away his whole life with Meredith, him and April stay together. April and Meredith are no longer friends, but my truth is that it has to be worth something. Like, the people who cheat on people, just stick with them forever. Like, don't.
I'm like, you gotta double down.
You have
to. This is it. This is the one. That's it. If you're gonna have an affair,
yes,
and blow up your and other someone else's life, that's what you got to do. That's the one. You don't get to then go shop around for a different. No,
nope.
Bitch.
Jess was telling me some tea about some folks that she knows at a different job, a friend of hers.
Hell yes, I love tea.
And she could tell you the tea sometime if you ask her. But this woman basically like had an affair with this guy. It was her boss. He left his wife. She didn't. She went back to her husband.
So this is Ellis and Richard, but reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. But like in that, like, you just got to be together forever. You just, if you're going to cheat, you just got to figure out how to either, like, misery loves company the hell out of your life, or just torch it all. Like, you have to.
I respect people who, like, I don't necessarily think that infidelity is the end all be all. I know a lot of people say, like, oh, we can never get through that. But then I think when you like when you're looking at the reality of like losing the person that you've built a life with, you can actually decide whether or not it is something you can forgive. And there are lots of people who get through it and survive it and come out the other side better for it. And I don't think that anyone on this show is doing that.
Yeah.
So especially in this timeline, like Derek doesn't even love Addison. So like, it's like, what does it matter? Why would I care?
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about you, clearly. And I'm not even hiding it.
Right. I was having a conversation with Jess about this, like on the heels of her telling me some of this tea. And I'm like, Jess, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I can very honestly say I will never, ever cheat on you. Barring like Sydney Sweeney herself walks up to me right now and says, we're doing this. And I'm like, okay, like, all right, fine. But then you and I have to get married. Like, if I'm blowing up my life, I need a new mother figure for Marlo to be in my life to help me raise this child that I'll not even have full custody of because I cheated on my wife. Like, I hope your high powered so Hollywood attorneys
cheat
can help
on her
me
and then apologize.
Right.
Why not?
Because Sydney Sweeney wants me. I need to give her.
Once will be enough. She'll be fine after the one time. One and done.
Trust me. She will want. She'll
I
be
think
wanting.
I'm correct. I think I am correct. So then it's just about Jessica, who has a incredible power of forgiveness that I will quite literally never understand. It's one of her superpowers.
Not for me. She hates me.
Yes, for you. You do dumb shit all the time and she
name
stays married
one,
to you.
Name one dumb thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh my God, like anytime you speak.
Okay, see, that's exactly how I know that you're the dumb one.
No, I do have examples, but I'm not going to air them on the podcast. But I'm not going to say that she is that she is without flaw. I just think she has an incredible capacity for forgiveness that is baffling to me.
Mostly for her family. Her family does the
weird
stuff.
Well, and friends.
Well, I guess that's fair. I've never wronged Jessica. In fact, she wrongs
that's
me more true. Than more than I wrong her.
I hate everything you're saying.
You
as a witness,
love
you're wrong.
It. Yeah. So, anyways, those are my truths, and I don't see Lexi coming back. I think Lexi's dead. She dies.
She lived.
Well, she lived. She's the girl who lived has come to die.
Come to die.
Come to die. Also, I had a moment today that you would be so proud. There was a Bernese Mountain Dog that came in that this woman said, my dog ate something in the park. I don't know what it was, but it looked like it could have been half of a golden snitch. And I was like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. And then the other two nurses were like, I don't know. What is a gold? Like, what's a golden snitch? I don't understand. And I'm like, you guys, it's a Harry Potter reference. And I'm like, ma'am, I get it. And she said, thank you. Thank you.
But why wouldn't she just say like half of a ball? Like what? That's
because it was the ball with the wing. It was like it literally looked. Oh. I don't remember what
that's
it was,
so
but when they pulled it out, it really was. It looked like it was a ball with a wing on it. It was
that's
wild,
so bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess
it looked like a golden snitch
for the correct description.
Yeah. So. What other questions do we have? And did we miss anything? I'm like, this was such a fun all around episode.
Yeah. Is there any character that you wish would have come back for if then? I would have honestly been fine with George showing up and like not have pursued being a doctor. Like he left after his intern year and went and just like was some other job, like a accountant or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, George would have been cool. Olivia would have been great. I
think it makes sense not to bring Teddy back because it's like, what do you do with her in it? Like,
right.
Like, if you're going to make Callie be with Owen, I feel like you can't bring Teddy back. The only other option would have been bring Teddy back and her and Owen are together.
Right. I would have also been okay with Dr. Stark, but he's not a prick face. And I also would have been okay with seeing Denny Duquette as like just a person who's in for like a routine checkup. But then you can't have Izzy
not be
burning there, out yeah. or flaming out because of the Elvad wire situation. So
being fired, yes.
Yeah. Or like the Elvad wire situation happens, it all goes down, then he still gets the heart, and then he comes back and for a lives. Routine checkup and lives.
Yeah.
The man who lives has come to live.
to live some more.
Live some more.
Is there any pairing that you prefer in the alternate universe than in reality? I would not mind seeing Addison and Mark raise a child together. I'm not going to say I necessarily prefer it to Mark and Lexi, but that is something that I would watch in this reality.
This may be a hot take. I would like Meredith and Alex. I don't like this version of Alex, and I don't like her getting cheated on.
That was my question. Like, you want her with this Alex, or you want her with regular Alex?
I want regular Alex and regular Meredith together.
That's weird.
I think I would have liked to have given it a shot.
I would have liked to have seen it. They're so platonic, and I love that. We don't get enough of that in TV, in my
Totally. Opinion. We've said that. I've said that before. I love that there's platonic relationships for them. Also, Christina and Alex are platonic. Also, Christina and Meredith are platonic. So, you know, anything goes in the show. But I think it would have been interesting to see if they explored that in real Grey's universe is what I mean.
What are some ideas of your and my ideal alternate Grey's universe?
I'll tell you number one, Burke's actor doesn't say stupid crap and he could still be on the show.
Yeah.
Number two, George was written as a totally different person.
Number three, everyone is a completely different character and nobody sucks. Every man on this show has been in therapy for 7 years and is perfect and not toxic at all.
Right. Wait a second. This is the bad place. What was the question? Did I even answer what am I saying?
Like, your ideal in an alternate, like, what would you have written for an alternate universe?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I really, the thing that I like about this show is I actually really like where we're at in Real Grey's.
Yeah.
Real Grey's, if anything could be changed to have an alternate timeline, it's that Burke doesn't go away. I liked Burke's character. I liked Burke and George together. I guess I would have been okay if George didn't die, but
Where they were taking George at the end into like the trauma side of it, he was thriving there more than we've seen him really anywhere else. And so he did seem like he would have been more likable, and then they were like, fuck off. So we'll never know. But I don't know if there's anything truly that I would put. I mean, yeah, I think I would just like to see Addison and Mark have a baby together and watch that go down and see what that would look like would be intriguing to me.
It's also, I think, very important for me to say I never want to see anyone stuck in a relationship because of children and not be able to be their authentic self. So I envision a world where Callie could have those three kids, but maybe it's in the relationship that she's most comfortable with.
You know what? Let's say Owen goes to therapy and the therapist is like, you need to understand yourself better. And Callie is also in therapy with Owen, and they're like, same for you. And then they decide to take some time apart to figure that out and keep their family safe, their kids safe. And that is when things get explored with other people.
I think they just, they would need to be in a throuple. They need they need to be a three person relationship. There needs to be another girl in the relationship.
Why?
Because Callie would go and explore herself and say, no, 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 not interested.
Yeah, but Owen doesn't deserve another person.
It's a good point. So I guess Callie leaves Owen.
So Callie just could have another relationship.
I mean, that's the risk of when you go to those, when you go through those periods and you're like, we're just going to explore ourselves. Well, okay. Bye.
I think you have to be, it's just those are risky because you have to be so sure that both people really want it and know where everything is and like know what boundaries are and like know where you stand in your own relationship. And I think oftentimes you see people get, one person is getting pressured into that and then it doesn't end up well. Because they didn't actually want it. And then boundaries are crossed. And, you know, I'm not a, like it. There are people that are very clear about it and it works really well for them. And I love that for them. And I think that like more people should be more accepting of different types of relationships.
Yeah.
I just think I personally know people who have been on different sides of it where like I know people who do it actively successfully. And I know people who kind of have agreed to it. Because they just were like, well, I guess this is what my partner wants, so I need to agree to it. And then that everyone, it just crumbles, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Also, okay, sorry to like totally like sniffle in like right into the microphone. Sorry.
How do you feel that this episode also kind of shows things might just be inevitable in any Grey's universe, like Meredith and Derek, Christina... and Owen, Callie in Arizona, chemistry, Addison cheating with Mark, Charles still doesn't get the girl.
Hey, that's savage. Who asked that question?
Kat.
That's cold-blooded. Honestly, I think that's the magic of this episode. Like, that's why this episode works. So if they... if everything was totally different, like still it's fun, but the fact that they bring it back to there are some things that are Thanos level, that's great. Mm-hmm. And they bring it back to what makes Grey's Grey's in a lot of ways. And the two main things is are Derek and Meredith get together and mm-hmm. Meredith and Christina are best friends.
Christina. Yeah.
So they bring it back to, I think the main character and her two most important relationships.
Yeah.
That's the arc that you need. That's why this episode works is because there are things that no matter they're outlining, no matter what these are truths.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot too. I do think there are other things that like, potentially would be explored but maybe wouldn't end up the exact same as like our Grey's universe, but I did have the Thanos thought of like I am inevitable in certain moments in the show because I'm like, well, I guess that's, you know, no matter what universe we're in, this is what happens. And that's the point. And again, that's why I think the episode does work, as much as people really want to hate it. And I really can't objectively find a reason to hate this episode other than it's a different than a regular Grey's episode. And I watched it twice and I was really looking to understand like why people hate it so much. And I really just like, other than the fact that it's just like weird and jarring to be like, oh God, Callie and Owen. Ew.
That was probably the most jarring thing.
Yeah. That actually. And then just like the way Derek was carrying himself and the way he was treating everybody, like it was not good. So
that actually wasn't jarring to me. Is that sad? That really wasn't surprising or shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that tracks for me. It's just like a different way that Derek is shitty. So, you know, that's so easy for me to follow.
Hey, that's Mick shitty to you.
Exactly. Okay, well, we're not going to make any predictions for this because... nothing has happened since the last episode that you could actually predict anything on. But we will rate it.
Again, you guys, it's a five. This is a five. If you disagree with me respectfully, and I want to be very clear, this is with all due respect. You can just suck a fucking dookie. Like this is, inbox me, DM me right now. Yeah. It's a five. This is a five.
For me, I think it's like a 4.8, 4.9. Like, it's so close to a 5, but the issues I have are, I've aired them. Like, it's just like some things that are just a little muddled and like unclear for me. But yeah, overall, I don't hate it. I don't.
It's just fun.
I really, it's just like they do it well without being like cringy or overbearing or like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, if your argument for why you don't like it is like, oh, we don't need it, who gives a shit? We don't need any television. We just get them and we are gracious and we say, thank you.
Exactly.
Hollywood, for entertaining me.
I actually love that there's no stakes. Like, whatever happens, it's going to be cool. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be fun. I wish they would have done where someone dies. Like, there's no stakes.
Yeah, Charles. Like, Charles could have died.
Right. Yeah.
Just again, fell down dead.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine they did a what if episode and, I don't know, Mark dies or Jackson gets killed. Like, there's no stakes. Like
Richard. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Richard, you know, like Ellis stabs Richard, you know, well, what if,
yeah, that would be good.
Or Adele in an alternate timeline still has Alzheimer's and accidentally crashes into Richard with a car. I'm just saying, they could, the no stakes episodes, that's like you just like full on do whatever you want.
You know what? There weren't stakes, but they still took it really seriously. And again, I think that's what makes it a good version. Like, they weren't like, we're going to do this and not give a shit about it. They're like, we're going to do this and we're going to do it like it's a Grey's episode. And I just don't really understand what people are so fucking mad about. So I know we have people that hate it, so we're more than happy to hear you out. We probably won't agree with you, but I'm happy to see your side of it.
And that's the thing. Like, use this as a conversation starter, but you're not going to change my opinion on this, and I'm not going to change yours. I do not inbox me to debate me. Just like, tell me your thoughts, because I am curious. Maybe there's something that I didn't think about. Not that it's going to change my mind, but yeah. Also, like, this is fun. This is what Grey's is about, is having some fun.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening and hearing us out on this episode, because I know that we're probably in the minority of what people are going to think about it. So we're excited to hear from you guys about it. You can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod, or chaoticallykelseycarmen.gabriel.official, and chit chat with us about it, about all the things. Thank you again for your patience from last week's being wonky. We hope this episode has was worth the wait, because it was really fun, and I'm glad we got to discuss it when we were in good states of mind.
The best. So
thank you guys so much. Please keep sharing. Again, we're getting new listeners all the time, and we love that. It's because you guys keep sharing and telling people. And we did have someone, I don't know if I shared this, but we did have someone email or message me that said they accidentally found the podcast because they told their Alexa to play Grey's Anatomy, and she started playing Grey's Academy.
What?
And I was like, shout out. It was either Alexa or Siri. And
that's,
I was like,
funny.
Incredible. The technology is forcing us on people now. I love it.
Good.
But thank you guys so much for
finally
sharing.
AI is doing something right.
Please. Thank you for sharing, for listening again, for talking to us, for just being in part of our fandom for this show that is a million years old, and we'll continue to just keep it on, and we love it so much. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies. Even in an alternate reality, no spoilies. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you all in the next one.